Woe to the teachers of the law, the day of the saints is here. Woe to the
Welcome to God News Network, where the saints are rising, where we are here to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints.
Are you a saint? How do you find out? By listening to God News Network. This is Saint Rick coming to you on this beautiful April 2nd. We wanted to let you know that God is with you because you are a saint. You've accepted him as your Lord and Savior. And if you have not, worry not. You will get a chance to do so before the show is over. With me again, my partner, Saint Albert from South Carolina. Good afternoon, good morning, good day, and good evening.
Right, Rick. It's good.
It is good. Let's dive right in here. As you can see today, we are going to be talking about how the world uses the law against us. What do I mean by the world using the law against us? Not only does the world do this, but religion itself does this. And religion is notorious for it because it's been going on since the beginning of time. The enemy has used the law against us since the Garden of Eden, and he continues to do so by saying, you can't do that. Look at that. You took that pencil that you weren't supposed to. Oh, you had a bad thought about your mom, your dad. You're not honoring your father and your mother. You have looked at that woman and something lustful crossed your mind. You looked at that man and something crossed your mind. Get over it. That's the flesh. That's not you. So we're going to talk about how the law is used against us. There's many, 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 many ways. I don't know about you, Albert, but I want to do a relational story about when we were younger. When we were younger, we were a little ornery when we were in high school and early college, and we used to push the boundaries a little bit and, have a few drinks out and driving around the country or whatever. And the cops would find you and then they'd take your beer. And what would they do? They would dump it out and say, get home, if they thought you were good enough to drive, or they would take you home or something like that. Not so much today. Today it's all different. It's a police state and it's more, how many DUIs can I get a guy on? How many DUIs can we get this weekend? Those kinds of things. So it's went from a protect and to serve, which we used to be on the cop cars, to now it's a police state. And I know that because all the kids that come in, and when they come into the, for putting in applications for my company, what they end up doing is they end up putting in applications and they've got DUIs on their background. It's a lot of them don't even have driver's license when they come in. So the law increased, and because of the law increased, more people become guilty. Matter of fact, I would say I would be safe in saying that over 90 some percent of people on the planet will break a law before the day is out, or before the week is out, or before the month is out. And that might encapsulate 100% of the people on the planet. And I'm talking about laws the government has created. Oops, you're speeding by 1 mile an hour. You broke the law. You didn't come to a complete stop. You broke the law. You mowed your yard and you crossed over into your neighbor's yard. You broke the law. The tree limb is hanging into your neighbor's yard from your own property boundary. You broke the law. Doesn't this sound insane to you?
It's crazy. It's crazy, Rick. And all you've been touching on right there is the government laws. Let's get into religious laws. From the get-go, man has tried to use religion with his laws to persecute people and kill people. I mean, you see it all the way down from let's not go that far. Let's go first to the Catholic religion or the Catholic Church. Not that we're against Catholics, but just so you could see how religion uses the laws. I mean, you've had so many people die for little dumb things or because they have, you know, read the Bible and the Spirit has showed them something and it went against the religion that they were in, whether the Catholic Church or whatever. I mean, the indulgences that were passed out, that Martin Luther fought so much against, you know how many people probably lost their lives with that because they were fighting against that? I mean, a lot of people. Now, in modern day, you see the Muslims struggling with the same thing. You see all this religions, Muslim religions, with the law trying to say that, you know, that the more you do the law, the holier you get. You get ISIS here that they're saying that they're abiding by the law, and you see how many, even at their own laws, that they're breaking. I mean, they've become, ISIS members have become rapists, killers. I mean, you name it, they've become it. So they have been breaking even their own laws. They can't even keep their own laws. Here in the United States, the Protestant religion, years ago, putting in laws that you couldn't drink, that you, you know, that you couldn't dance, that you couldn't have even a Sunday ice cream on Sunday because it was too sinful. I mean, you name it, and they couldn't even keep the laws. Most of those people traveled outside of their city to another city next to them so they could drink, so nobody in their church will even know that they're drinking. You see, it's such a ridiculous thing. I remember a few years back, we used to go to the church, and my wife, the first thing that they came up to my wife and saying that in that church that they had a law that women cannot wear men's clothing, right? Because, and they told her that because my wife was wearing pants, right? Mm-hmm. Well, not too long ago, I saw pictures of the church, and there was about 10 women there with pants. They cannot uphold their own laws that they come up with, you know. Right. So here's another one, you know, about drinking. You know, you can't drink, but you could drink wine, you know. it is crazy. Crazy.
So how does that relate to what's going on right now? Because we had a little bit of a political discussion earlier, and I know, you know, we keep things God-focused here, but it's important to understand some of the world events that are going on. A lot of the religious leaders you were talking about right now are up in Washington, D.C., mm-hmm. And what are they trying to accomplish up there, do you know?
Well, Rick, the whole thing is that if you see the religious theme that comes up almost all the time, it's all based on laws. And the reason why they could get together and have a unity is because it's all based on laws. You could have the Muslims, you could have the Christians, you could have the Jews, you could have all of them together and be happy because it's all going to be a base religion and laws. And that is dangerous. That is dangerous because if you look out through history, Rick, you know, religion used government. I mean, who killed Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ was killed by the government. Who pushed the government to kill him? Religion, you know? And you could go throughout history, and it's the same thing. The church, the Catholic Church. How many people did the Catholic Church kill? With whom? With through the government, you know? And with the Protestants, the same thing, you know? How many mm-hmm. Protestants did the... I mean, it hasn't been too long ago that we had the witch hunts here and people were getting burned in the stakes, you know, for just about anything. What did they use for that? They used the law. Right. Everything was based on laws. Even you go back thousands of years and it's the same thing. It's not good. It's not good, Rick. To think that something good is going to come out of there is really being naive of history and naive of what religion can do. Because let's say that there was a few of those pastors out there that were actually grace pastors and they understood that we were no longer under the law and that they understood that really, it is the goodness of God that brings people into repentance. How many of them are actually up there talking to the president and talking to our representatives out there in Washington, D.C., you know, the special groups that truly understand that? Most of them are lobbyists of the law. They're not lobbyists of grace. Some of them might be, but not the majority. And we're in trouble, Rick. We are in trouble, especially in a society that, just like we talked a little while, that is getting more and more sophisticated with technology, that everything is going to be looked at and scrutinized. Everything, including what you believe. And guess who are the ones who are going to suffer for their belief? It's going to be the people of Christ, the true people of Christ, the people of the gospel, of the true gospel, because the majority are going to be people of religion, of the religion of Christ.
Hmm. Well, you know, with that, let's dive in and let's see what God is saying about this subject. And we're going to go to Hebrews 10:14. It says, "For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified." Let's categorize that. So his offering on the cross perfected forever. He has, that's a past tense statement, has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. That would be anyone who's accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. It's not someone who is the elite of those who have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's what religion teaches.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us, for after he had said before, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord." What are those days?
The days that we're in.
The days that we're in. "This is the covenant I will make with them after those days, says the Lord." Let's do a little background study on that. Those days, okay? When it gets to the days, it's Samira, and it talks about the day, used of a natural day, the interval between the daytime, metaphor of the day, regarding as a time for abstaining from indulgence, vice, crime, because of acts of the sort are perpetrated at night and in darkness, the civil day, Eastern day, of the last day of the present age, the day Christ will return from heaven, raise the dead, hold the final judgment, and perfect his kingdom. That's what he's talking about, right? So if we take a look at this and we look at it, he says, "This is a covenant I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them." You know, after those days is a word keeps getting missed in church. They miss that. Mm-hmm. Then he adds, "Their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more."
Yeah. And Rick, just a note that those laws are going to be written in our hearts. It's not what religion always tells us. It's the Ten Commandments and the 613 laws. Those laws that are going to be written in our hearts are the laws of the new covenant.
And he goes on to that, and he says, "Now, where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. Mm-hmm. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus," not by your own efforts, by your own sin, by your lack thereof, "by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil," that is his flesh. So the veil was his flesh that consecrated for us, and having a high priest over the house of God. "So let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." Mm. We're good, man. We're good. Let's go to John 16. It says, sure, "They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God service. And these things they will do to you because," why? "They have not known the Father or me. But these things I've told you, that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning because I was with you. So this is after he was with them. This is now when he's not, you know, he's going to go. He says, but now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I've said these things, you sorrow and filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin. Not you. He doesn't convict you. He convicts the world of sin. And he convicts the world of righteousness. And he convicts the world of judgment. Why sin? Because they do not believe in him. Not because of the acts of the flesh. It's not because of that. It's because they don't believe in him. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. So your righteousness is there because he's going to his Father and you see him no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Not because you. It's the ruler of this world is judged. Mm-hmm. That would be Satan. Mm-hmm. I still have many things to say to you this, but you cannot bear them now. I feel that way sometimes, Albert. I feel that things get too deep and they can't quite understand what's going on. They can't quite get it because it's too much for them to bear. They just are getting to the point where they accept Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. So how do I go any further? You got to let go of yourself. You got to say, okay, I let go of me. So I'm out of the way. That means I can accept Jesus. I can accept his righteousness. I accept his holiness. I accept the sanctification. And I can accept I am good because of him, not because of me. Because we have a tendency while we're in the flesh to constantly look at what we've done wrong. Why? Because like you said, the law is used against us.
No. And I like what he says there, that a righteousness because he went to see his Father. And that is so good, because what that is a witness that the Father, he went to the Father and said, I have finished this. I have finished this. It's all over. And the Father is saying, my good son, you have done my will. You have finished it all. So because you have finished it, those people down there could become righteous now. That is enormous.
He convicts the world of righteousness.
Yeah. And you know, when we see this too, Rick, we see, you know, about where he, in the beginning there, where it says 16:2, where it says that they will put you And out of the synagogues. You could say that they're going to put you out of religion too, out of the churches that are religious, because once you talk to them and expose them of the freedom that we have in Christ, they're gonna take you out. Just like in that time that happened to the Jews, they're going to do it today. And it goes on and saying that they're going to, also, they're going to come with you with charges and everything, you know, even put you to death. Don't think for one second that if there wasn't laws right now to protect you, that religion will not put you to death. Because look at what's going on around all the way in the other side of the world, that they're putting people to death because of religion. Okay? Don't think for one second that the Christian religion, okay, will not put you to death here in the United States when the moment comes, because they will, just like they're doing all over the world.
Right. Religion has one tool, and it's law. Because if we can keep you from knowing the truth of how free you are, we have power over you to give money.
Mm-hmm.
Because we want to use money for other purposes. We want to use money for purposes that are our purposes. We want these new buildings. We want this new land. We want all of this stuff. We want the latest and greatest of all the furniture, of all the beauty that can be inside a church. And I need a new Cadillac.
Yeah.
And it's the truth.
Yeah. It is the truth, Rick. It is the truth. Sadly, it is the truth.
You know, 100 prominent leaders took out a page in the Washington Post for the purpose of coming against Trump for wanting to put a ban on those coming over and giving preference to Christians. And they come out against Trump for that.
Yeah.
Woe unto them. It's going to be a very, very bad day for them because Christians have been persecuted so much. And, you know, who do we got coming in to our country that are Christians that are strapping bombs to them? You know, who are doing those kinds of things?
Yep.
You know, if you can go to a website called thereligionofpeace.com, thereligionofpeace.com, and you can look on there and how many Muslim attacks have been attacked. And then now we got laws that are being set up and we got governors protecting the enemy and not protecting us here at home.
Yeah. You know, Rick, I bet you that since all this started, not even 1% of the people who are coming over are Christians.
Right.
You know, they're coming, that they're saying that they're holding constitution and all that. Right. You know, the Christians here should be standing up and saying, you know, the government is being, they say that they're upholding the constitution and all that. There should be then 50% of the Christians, or even more, because the Christians are the ones who are really being exterminated over there. People better wake up and see what really is occurring in this nation. They better wake up.
Yeah, they better wake up big time. You know, the United States actually admits record number of Muslim refugees in 2016. You know, and Christian refugees accepted are 15 times greater than the percentage of their population. It says you've got 399,677 Christian refugees, it says, and 279,000 Muslims. That's over a period of time. But the ones that are coming in from Syria, it's a totally different story. Matter of fact, according to CNSnews.com, it says that out of the Syrian refugees that are coming over, 0.5%, so a half of 1% were Christians from the Syrian area. So the United States bars Christians, not Muslims, says Newsweek, from Syria. They're barring Christians from coming, not the Muslims. And this is, you know, this is what was going on under the previous administration. Yeah. So getting back to our topic at hand here, we're going to go to Galatians. It says, so when you're doing using law in your religion and you're using law, basically what you're saying is that you are following the gospel of something other than Christ, because you're using law, and that's not what Christ was about. He came to abolish the law. And if you don't believe me, let's go to Ephesians chapter 2 first. It says 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near, not by you, not by your effort, but by the blood of Christ. For he, Christ, is our peace, who has made both one, that's the Jew and the Gentile, broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, the wall, the enemy, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through himself, through the cross, thereby putting to death the law. Why didn't they just call it the law? Who knows? Because you got a bunch of religionese that are translating things incorrectly. And if that isn't good enough, let's go to Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. And you, there you go, you, being dead in your sins and your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he's made alive together with him, having forgiven you all sin, all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he's taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. And by doing that, he disarmed the principalities and powers, and he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. What's amazing is people still give power to the principalities. They didn't have no power. Christ won. It was over. So going back to Galatians 1, but even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we've preached, let him be accursed. He's so adamant about sticking to what Christ did that he says, you're going to be accursed if you preach anything else. And here it says in 1:9, he repeats it. As we've said before, now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. He repeats it. I'm dramatizing this for a reason. He dramatized it. As a matter of fact, he starts off, he says, who has bewitched you? Right? Yep. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ, going to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. And then he goes into 1:8, 1:9, what we said right there.
That's powerful, Rick. That's powerful. It's awesome. A warning. It's a warning.
It's a warning. Law belittles you. Law keeps you from becoming all the beauty that God wants you to be, from receiving the peace that you have at your taking, from keeping you at peace from the worry that you have. Worry is a symptom of the lack of understanding of what you are and who you are in Christ Jesus. Anxiety is another situation where Christ can bring you peace. And anxiety doesn't have to be there. He gave us our peace through his blood. Our peace comes through his blood. But if the world overcomes you, there are things we can do to help us until you understand your identity. Once you get your identity in Christ, your anxiety starts to just go away. Your worry starts to disappear. Why worry about tomorrow? There's enough worries today, he says. Let's go to Matthew 24. This is where you kind of wanted to go. They will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Now, I just told you to be at peace, and then here comes this. Right? Yep. Be at peace, but let me tell you, they're going to take you up there and kill you, and you'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Wow. You know, this is going to occur very soon. I have a feeling that we are within 10, 15 years away from this stuff happening right here. And we're the most Christian nation on the planet right here.
Well, we're the most religious nation on the planet.
Yeah, religious. How about that? But a lot of professed Christians are here, yeah. But they are really living religion. You're correct. Mm-hmm. You know, really living religion. Religion is anti-Christ. Sorry, but it is. Christianity is love. It's love, peace, kindness, gentleness, suffering all things, persevering all things, always hopes, all those beautiful things. And then we're going to go to here where we go into Romans 7. I once was alive without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. Think about that right now. If you think about it, ooh, I'm guilty. You're dead. You feel horrid. You're no use to anyone. And the commandment, which was to bring life, I found actually brought me death. Why? Because sin, taking the opportunity by the commandment, deceived me and it killed me. Therefore, the law is holy and the commandment is holy and just and good. Has then what is good become death to me? Certainly not. But sin, that it might appear as sin, was producing death in me through what is good, so that sin, through the commandment, might become exceedingly sinful. For we know what the law, we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal. That's your flesh. Sold under sin. For what I'm doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But that's what I hate, and what I hate, I do. If then what I do, what I will not to do, I agree that the law, that it is good, but it's no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. As long as the flesh exists, you're going to battle that. You just got to keep in mind, it's not you. The spirit has been separated and sealed by the blood of Jesus Christ completely, and all that little stuff that your body does doesn't harm you. You are protected. Once you get that identity, guess what starts to stop happening? All the other stuff. Because you don't want to, because you are revering the love that Christ gave you through his death. And you just, you don't want to anymore. It's like being a young child and you want to rebel against your parents. And you do, until finally wisdom sets in and you go, why did I do that? I love my mom. I love my dad. And they love me. Then you just stop. You just stop doing it because you realize who you are. You realize you get your identity back. Take your identity. The law cannot be used against those who know. The Bible says, God says, my people suffer for lack of knowledge. Become knowledgeable. Become knowledgeable about God news. Not about all the world news that can make you crazy and lose your mind and all that stuff, but we have God news that can set you free and get you to where you are in peace, no worry, no anxiety, nothing. And with that, I know that freedom is right around the corner for you. Brother, what another great thing. What another great thing.
That was good, brother.
Please out there, tell your friends, tell everybody, come to God News Network. Download the app, God News Network. And you can download the app, God News Network, by running it all together in the App Store, God News Network, or Google Play. You can go to GodNewsNetwork.com. All these episodes will be there for your taking. Because you are a saint. Because you've accepted Christ. And if you've not, you get a chance to. Repeat after me. I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for me. I believe that he was buried. And he rose after the third day unto resurrection and unto life for me. I accept him as my Lord. I accept him as my Savior. Guide me and tell me what's next. In Jesus' name, amen. If you said that prayer, find a local church that truly represents God. And if not, that's okay. Tune in here every week at God News Network. And if you're just getting here, go to some of the older episodes. Check them out. We're not perfect here. We don't do things to the most perfect level. Our goal is to spread the word. We let the word do the work, not us. Because we're chillaxing in the beautiful spirit of God. Any final words, Brother Albert?
Be at peace and trust in the Lord.
Amen. And remember, God News Network, where the saints are rising.